It's a great day to be a Bengal fan.
Thank you, Alan Coughbutton Cutler. And hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Hort, and this is the Bengals Booth Podcast, the Rainy Days and Sundays edition, as we recap a hard-fought 20-16 win over the Buffalo Bills on a rain-drenched Sunday afternoon at Paul Brown Stadium. We'll have radio replays, locker room comments from A.J. Green, Vontaze Burfict, and others. Dave Lapham will join me with some post-game analysis. And as the Bengals celebrate their 50th season, we'll talk to the guy who scored more touchdowns in a Bengals uniform than anybody else, Pete Johnson. But before we get to all of that, here's a reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. It's the greatest invention since the yellow first down line on televised football games. I don't know who invented that, but he's my hero. Since 1990, when the NFL adopted its current 12-team playoff format, only three teams in 27 years have started the season 0-3 and made the playoffs. That's three out of 132 possible teams, or 2.3%, roughly the same percentage of me being mistaken for George Clooney. The last 0-3 team to make it was Buffalo back in 1998. After starting 0-3, the Bills righted the ship by winning five straight. Well, the Bengals are trying to do something similar. After their 0-3 start, they've won two in a row, and thanks to Pittsburgh's shocking 30-9 loss at home to Jacksonville, featuring five Ben Roethlisberger interceptions, including a glorious pair of pick sixes, the Bengals are just one game behind the Steelers and Ravens in the AFC North. Go figure. Now let's get to the highlights. Entering the game, Buffalo was number one in the NFL in scoring defense and had only given up one touchdown pass all year. 3.5 minutes into the game, the Bengals doubled that total to two.
On first and 10, Dalton fakes to Mixon, throws it high and deep. A.J. Green catches at the Buffalo 40, sprinting toward the middle of the field at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Woo! Baby!
77 yards! Andy Dalton finding A.J. Green, who roasted the rookie cornerback, Tre'Davious White.
White was the NFL's Defensive Rookie of the Month in September, but he was no match for A.J. Green.
They're a very disciplined team. The biggest thing for them, man, they don't give up big shots. So we had to hit them every time we got one dialed up. And we did. We made some big plays today.
Buffalo answered late in the first quarter, driving from its own 15 to the Bengals' 13 before settling for a field goal try by Steven Hauschka.
Reed Ferguson snaps the wet ball back. Hauschka's field goal try is good. And the Buffalo Bills are on the scoreboard with 10 seconds left here in the first quarter.
The Bengals immediately answered on their next drive, but it came at a cost. On a third down and 21 play, Buffalo's Jerry Hughes was penalized for roughing the passer when he took a low shot at his former college teammate, Andy Dalton.
Oh, I was telling him that he doesn't need to be coming at me like that.
Dalton got hit again on the next play and began limping badly with an injured ankle. He managed to gut out the rest of the game but left the stadium in a walking boot. Fortunately, the Bengals have a bye next week, and Andy should be fine. The Bengals' drive stalled at the 12-yard line, and a Randy Bullock field goal made it 10-3. But the Bills entered the game in first place in the AFC East for a reason. Their offense doesn't turn the ball over, and their defense takes it away.
Andy fakes to Mixon, throws
in
and out of the hands of A.J. Green, and intercepted by a leaping Buffalo safety, Micah Hyde, who comes up with his fourth interception of the year, and he runs out of bounds at the 22-yard line of Cincinnati.
Buffalo capitalized on the short field.
He's back to throw, fires into the end zone, caught by Brandon Tate for a touchdown against his former team.
Ah, yes, Brandon Tate. To steal a line from a legendary Boston sportscaster named Bob Lobel, why can't we get guys like that? The game was tied at 10 at the half, and the first time the Bengals got the ball in the third quarter, they coughed it up again.
Third down and three, the Bengals at their own 35. Shotgun snap back to Andy Dalton. His throw through the hands of A.J. Green and intercepted by Micah Hyde again.
Wow!
Two Andy Dalton interceptions, both on passes that bounced off the hands of A.J. Green on a rainy afternoon.
Drops. There's drops. Now I'm not going to blame the rain because that's my job is to catch the ball.
But that second interception didn't hurt. The Bills started the drive in field goal range and finished out of it, as the Bengals drove Buffalo back 10 yards. Here's Vontaze Burfict.
There were some sudden change situations today where you either held him to a field goal or held him to nothing. How significant was that?
Oh, that's huge. I mean, I don't know how many turnovers we had, but if they would have scored on every turnover, I don't think we would have been in the game. So, you know, we cherish turnovers. When the offense get a turnover, we cherish that. Going out there and stopping them, you know, they're already, even if they're in red zone, we cherish that. I think that's what lights the fire in us, too, because you got to be ready for a sudden change for defense. You can't be just sitting on the sideline thinking they're going to score.
Well, they had to stay ready on the Bengals' next drive as A.J. Green lost control of the ball again.
Shotgun snap to Dalton. Looking, throws down the middle, and nice. It is caught by A.J. Green.
The ball
is knocked out and scooped up by Jordan Poyer, running it back to the 20, down the sideline to the 30, 35, 40. And he will be tackled at the 47 or 8-yard line. Lorenzo Alexander punched the ball away from A.J. Green, who's dropped two passes that were intercepted and now fumbles in the red zone.
This time, the Bills took advantage and took the lead for the first time all day.
Here comes the field goal try, and the Buffalo Bills have a 3-point lead. 13-10 with 1:54 left in the third quarter.
The Bengals desperately needed a big play and got it from their best player.
Dalton looking for A.J. Green.
Got
makes
him.
The catch at the 30. Angling
Come
toward
on,
the
AJ.
Sideline at the 15. 10.
Oh.
And he is tackled inside the 5. He beat Tre'Davious White. And the Bengals will have it first and goal inside the 5-yard line.
A.J. Green finished his topsy-turvy day with 7 catches for 189 yards.
That's one thing about me. I don't get too high on myself. I don't get too low. Stay the course and you know, let my preparation take over. And stay focused, and I had no doubt I'd make a play.
His big play gave the Bengals a first and goal at the 5 to begin the fourth quarter.
Dalton hands it off to Mixon. Mixon trying to bounce it out toward the right pylon.
Yeah!
Touchdown!
Yeah!
Joe Mixon in the Bengals, and Cincinnati has the lead 5 seconds into the fourth quarter.
Now it was up to the defense to hold on.
Tyrod Taylor takes the shotgun snap, drops back to throw.
Finish!
Here comes Lawson.
Yeah!
Carl Lawson strikes again.
Yeah!
Sack number 5 for Cincinnati.
The Bengals finished with 6 sacks and have climbed to second in the NFL with 18 this season. Here's George Iloka on the Bengals' pass rush.
Even in the preseason, even in the spring, really, people were seeing it that the pass rush is going to be deadly this year. And so they're doing a good job. They're doing a tremendous job. And that makes our job easier. So they're relentless, and they're going to keep chasing. They're going to keep hounding. And when them gets tired, they throw another one in there, and they're just like, like meat to the lions.
Gotta love a good meat to the lions reference. And speaking of Iloka, he put the game away with about 2 minutes to go.
Shotgun snap to Tyrod Taylor. Deep drop. Fires deep downfield. Overthrown.
Yeah!
And intercepted by George Iloka. And he runs down to the 30-yard line. That might be coffin nails.
Bam, bam, bam.
The final score, Cincinnati 20, Buffalo 16. Here are Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, and Joe Mixon on the win.
This bye week comes at a good time. We'll be able to look and see what we're doing and see where we can get better and see what's going to help us run the ball better, because I think that's the one thing that we're looking at right now that we feel like we need to really improve on.
This feels so good, man. We had a great team win today. Man, offensive line fight their butt off. Andy playing through injury, fought his butt off, man, and the defense played unbelievable, man. Guys making plays, TK, Joe, when the numbers called, man, it was an unbelievable day.
Every win is big. You know, you just want to keep chipping away 1 week at a time. And going back to practice next week, I think we got like 1 day, but we got to get ready for Pittsburgh. Enjoy this win today, and then tomorrow got to get back to work.
Time to bring in my broadcast partner, Dave Lapham, for his post-game analysis.
What a big win for the Cincinnati Bengals. They improved to 2-3 after an 0-3 start by beating the Buffalo Bills 20-16. Andy Dalton and A.J. Green have combined for a lot of wins in their 7 years in Cincinnati. This was an interesting one. Andy got banged up, limped his way through the game, and threw for 328 yards. A.J. Green, uncharacteristically, had 2 passes go off his hands for interception. He had a critical fumble on a play that would have given the Bengals the ball in the red zone, but ultimately 189 receiving yards for A.J. in the play of the game at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, he's definitely one of a kind. There's no question about it. And, you know, in the post-game interview that I had with him, I gave him the opportunity to blame the weather. Because I remember we talked about it in the pregame. If it rains just a little bit, that's when it's the toughest. If it's a deluge, the ball is soaked and you can grip it. But if there's just a little bit of rain on that ball, that resin kind of mixes with that rain and it becomes really slick. You know, it's almost like a polymer on the football. And everybody was having trouble with it. George Iloka on his interception said, man, that thing was hard to catch. You know, I had to catch it two or three times to secure it. But A.J. wanted no part of it. He said, look, you know, I'm paid to catch the football. I can't drop the football. That's just the bottom line. But I think he got caught kind of in between. Do I take it to my body? Do I extend my hands? Because it was difficult. But, you know, the 77-yard touchdown that he had, the 49-yard catch he had to put him in scoring zone again, those are the two longest plays the Buffalo Bills have given up all year. Longest pass play they gave up coming into today's game was 47 yards. A.J. did better than that twice. So it speaks to his greatness. And the fact that he can, you know, put aside the negative and then still refocus laser-like, you know, to make plays. And Andy Dalton going to him, continuing to go to him. He said, I have no choice. I mean, he's the guy. And then for Andy, like you said, Dan, ankle injury to limping around and for him to suck it up and step up and make plays, not only throwing the football but running it, you know, extending plays that way. I think he showed his teammates a lot. You know, I think his leadership ability in his teammates' eyes really grew today.
The Bengals are 2-3, so their record's not great, but their pass rush has been. 6 sacks plus 8 additional quarterback hits. We know about Geno Atkins. We know about Carlos Dunlap. Now you add Carl Lawson to the mix, and this is a dynamic pass rush.
It really is. It's a mix of veterans, a mix of young players, and Carl Lawson's the real deal. I mean, they continue to chip him, put tight ends over there. You know, he's a force, and now he's getting Geno Atkins singled up a lot. And that's a handful for any guard or center inside one-on-one with Geno Atkins. That's not a good day. That's not a pleasant experience. So the thing I liked about Lawson, kind of like with A.J. on a smaller scale, he makes a mistake. I was talking to him in the post game. He said, I shouldn't have hit him when he was on the ground. Now, lesson learned, I know. But what did he do? Instead of pouting and moping about it, he goes and makes a play to close out a drive. So now he shows that, okay, I'm not going to collapse, you know, when things go badly. I'm going to step up and show that I'm a player that is going to make a difference in football games. Got to love that about a young guy like that. Michael Johnson, you know, making the plays that he made, they were big today. Tyrod Taylor, I think a lot of those sacks he held on the ball way too long. You know, he just will not throw it down. He refuses to make a mistake. He'll not throw it down the field unless the hole is huge. And today he decided he wasn't going to run it, you know, and just held it and took sacks. So, you know, there's always a lot of reasons, but coverage is the reason that he was holding on to that football. So it's always, you know, a fit. Coverage is good, sacks are going to come. If pressure's there, interception turnovers will come eventually as well. So it's, you know, there's more than one phase to all of it always.
So the Bengals enter their bye week at 2-3, a game behind the Steelers and Ravens, who are both 3-2. Those two teams do not have byes this week. The Steelers have a road game at Kansas City, the NFL's only remaining undefeated team at 5-0. The Ravens are at home against the Chicago Bears, who are 1-3 heading into the Monday night game against Minnesota. Now time to turn the page. In celebration of the Bengals' 50th season, fans and media members selected the top 50 retired players in team history, and they are being recognized at every regular season home game this year. 8 members of the first 50 were on hand for the Buffalo game, including the man who scored the most touchdowns of any player to wear the orange and black. And Dave Lapham and I talked to him before kickoff on Sunday.
All right, so great to have Pete Johnson back with us here at Paul Brown Stadium, named number 31 on the list of the first 50, the top 50 retired players in franchise history. I had you a little higher, quite honestly. Let's talk about this man's resume. 7 years with the Bengals, led the team in rushing all 7 years. 70 touchdowns in 7 seasons. My Syracuse University math tells me that was 10 per year.
There you go.
A Pro Bowler in 1981 when the Bengals went to the Super Bowl. Still 4th all-time in franchise history in rushing yards. Pete, congratulations on being named to the first 50.
You. I really appreciate it. And you know, it's so funny because
all right, Pete.
I was the guy that everyone always kind of came to for advice or when they was upset and having a problem. So when they came out with this about picking the players, my phone went off the hook. And I had certain guys, I ain't going to call the name, but I'm trying to figure out, what are you talking about? Huh. They said, well, you don't understand. The fans voted this and the fans voted that. I said, I don't think that too many of the fans are alive when I play. And they're like, well,
we're alive, Pete.
I said, just be appreciative that you got voted. It don't matter what position you was voted in, that someone thought enough of you to vote. So just be thankful for that and try to be happy the rest of the day.
There you go. There you go. Pete, you had 64 of those 70 touchdowns on the ground, number one in franchise history. I remember you had two 14-touchdown seasons in 79 and 83, and then we went to the Super Bowl. You had a 12-touchdown season. So you were a touchdown machine. But people don't give you enough credit for how easily and well you received the football. I mean, you were flexible, could turn, catch the ball behind you, made great catches of the football. Kenny Anderson loved throwing the football to Pete Johnson. Talk about your overall athleticism, Pete.
I appreciate that. And I just wanted the ball. So, you know, if you don't catch the ball from Kenny, he had this way, he gave you this look. And you know you ain't getting the ball anymore. So, you know, the more I touch the ball, I figured the better off I'm going to be. The more I can score, the more I score, the more money I can make. That was my philosophy, but it didn't quite work out that way.
Pete, did you run a 4.6 40? Have I read that correctly?
Most of the time, 4.5.
4.5. At what weight?
260.
Okay.
That is incredible.
How about this, though? Flat-footed, under a basket, 6 feet, two, whatever
six,
you were at
six
that
6'1 back then, 5'11 now.
5'11 now, 6'1. Goes up, no steps, no flushes a basketball, dunks it. Pat McAnally, your guest, Alan, can vouch for it. I think he lost a bet about you dunking a basketball, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, but Pat went out and he got all the guys lined up. I think we took everybody preseason money that year.
Now, I think a lot of people know you went to Ohio State. They might not know the fact that you still hold the rushing touchdown record there. You hold it here, you hold it there.
Per game, per season, and career at Ohio State.
Unbelievable.
How about, how about high school? You hold it there, too?
Still.
Alan Cutler has the touchdown record at high school. Now, 1975, Archie Griffin wins the Heisman, his second in a row. I think you might have deserved it even more.
I didn't even make first-team All-American.
He had 4 or 5 touchdowns. You had 26.
He had 4 touchdowns.
He had 4 touchdowns. He ran for 1,400 yards. You ran for 1,000, but he got the ball more. 1,284. With 27 touchdowns.
So Archie would run between the 20s or inside the 10, then they'd say, we got to give it to Pete to finish that drive, man. Let him pound it in the end zone. That's basically the formula.
Pat, you're right. He didn't go to Harvard. hey, Pat, that 1,400 yard, that math don't add up there somehow from 5 yard line.
So what was your longest rushing 80, touchdown?
80.
80, really?
80 yard.
You busted it for 80. Who'd you do that against?
Michigan State,
How
Penn
about that?
State.
You busted more than one 80 yard touchdown?
Oh. Hey, when Archie got his 100 yard, Woody would take us out of the game.
Right.
So that finished a lot of game with 99 yards. So when that was 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, I had to break them. It's not. I got no yardage. My rookie season here, I led the Bengals in rushing and scoring. I only played 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1.
Yeah, you're right.
So
you're
I had to do more than 1 yard.
You're right.
Pete Johnson, are NFL teams missing the boat by not using the fullback like they used to?
They got halfback bigger than when I played. So they are using the fullback, but it's a more running back now because you got to catch passes now. You know, when I played, I always was on the field. We stayed on the field because I caught the ball. We didn't have a special guy come out. But right now they got specialty players. Guy in for 2nd and 1, a guy in for 3rd and 1. So I think they got too many specialty players, and guy can't really get into the field of the game.
So – did you play basketball in high school? Were you a point guard? Do I remember that correctly?
I was a point guard.
You were a point guard in basketball. How about that? And your size in high school, how big were you in high school?
6'1", 226.
Playing point guard. How about that?
I tell you what, there were 3-pointers back then. I still hold the all-time record.
What other sports, Pete?
I ran track.
Did you?
Yes.
What events?
I ran the 100, the 220, and the anchor on the 440 relay.
How about that?
9900.
You ran a 9900.
Yes.
And you ran 4.540.
Yes.
That's an athlete. And to dunk a basketball, I mean, the muscles in your lower body, your explosion is like second to none. I mean, you had unbelievable explosion.
That from all that baling hay and picking peaches.
Is that what it was? All right, so I know you had a very close relationship with Forrest Gregg, about as close as anybody had.
Yeah.
What's your remembrances of Forrest Gregg as a player?
Oh, I love Coach Gregg. And I tell you, the day he came, and I never forget it, he walks in the room, and he stood up there, and he started screaming at us. That's why you men don't succeed. You think you're going to get somewhere by sticking your head up my ass? It ain't going to work. You got too many tattletalers around here, and this is how I got to be. And I'm like, yes, we got a great coach like Woody Hayes. I was excited. But, you know, we had a lot of guys that thought they can go and snitch on guys, and this guy ain't working out, coach. This guy ain't this coach. You know, this guy didn't stay in the weight room but 30 minutes, and that created a problem. But Forrest wasn't going to have that. We were going to work together, or we weren't going to work at all. And that's what I love about Forrest. You know, you think about it. He made us do stuff together.
We work.
Pete Johnson, awesome to have you back here at Paul Brown Stadium. Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
Being
I really
part of the first 50.
Pete.
Ohio State Hall of Fame, Rose Bowl Hall of Fame,
yep.
Bengals first 50, well deserved.
Hey, thank you.
At the Bengals' next home game coming up in 3 weeks against the Colts, the Bengals' legends scheduled to be in attendance include Tommy Casanova, Joe Walter, and the greatest Bengal of them all, Anthony Munoz. That's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to subscribe and give it a rating or leave a comment. It would be great to know how many of you are listening and what you think. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for listening to the Bengals Booth podcast.